My brothers and sisters, I'm told that the key to a successful photography, is the developing process. In order to properly develop the film, it must be taken into what is called the dark room. Then several different chemicals are added to enhance the quality of those prints. Only after the proper steps have been taken and all the right chemicals have been added, it is then safe to expose that film to the light in order to produce the final beauty of those prints. The amazing thing, beloved, is that the light, which at first would have greatly damaged the film, is now the key to bring out its final beauty. In much the same way, beloved, in the Christian life, we find ourselves at times in the dark room of God. It is there that all the right things are added to enhance and develop our spiritual life. One scholar explained it well by saying it is God's dark room that the true test and the validity of our spirituality is made known. I like that because, beloved, the truth of the matter is faith is like film. It is developed in the dark. In Psalms 142, we see the psalmist David in the dark room of God. It is in the cave, and history and the context of this passage suggests to us that this psalm was written when David fled from the pursuit of King Saul and, beloved, fled to the cave of Adullam. He is, no doubt, at the lowest and the darkest point in his life. He is at a place in his life where he has literally never been before. He is at a place of discouragement, despair, and doubt. He is his security, his shelter, and his self-respect are all gone. And therefore, by looking at these seven little verses of this psalm, listen, we will see how the psalmist coped and dealt with the dark times of his life. And I believe, beloved, that we too can learn when we find ourselves at that very place. The truth of the matter is, beloved, someone may find themselves in a dark space right now. What do we learn from this psalmist? First of all, I believe the psalmist is tailored to teach us that we have to have a communion that is observed. It's in the text. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. The psalmist shows us a communion that is observed. Watch this. It doesn't take long to read these seven little verses to find out that David was simply talking to God. It is a prayer to Almighty God. It is, my brothers and sisters, interesting to note that before he does anything else, he turns to the only one he can turn to. And the Bible declares literally that he communes with God. By observing his communion, what we will see is that it was an honest communion. Write that down because I think it's important. One of the beauties of the book of Psalms is the honesty of the psalmist. It is easy for us to see whatever the psalmist is feeling. He displays in this text sheer honesty. He's not trying to hide anything from God. He uncovers himself before Almighty God, and he displays that by saying in verse 1, with his voice, he says, I cry out to the Lord. He goes on to say, with my voice, I pleaded for mercy to the Lord. Hear me, beloved, and hear me good. There is no one else for this psalmist to share with. Even if there had been, no doubt, beloved, they could not have offered him any real help. However, he's at the point in his life and on his journey that he must talk to someone. No doubt he could have easily said with the songwriter, "I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own." He's at a place, beloved, as I said, a place where he has never been before. He needs some relief. So he shares truthfully and honestly with the Lord what he is feeling and how he's feeling. Listen, to be honest with God, beloved, you need to recognize that you don't have to be phony or fake. You don't have to be funny style. You just got to take it to the Lord in prayer. Anybody in here ever felt one way before you dropped on your knees or before you went into prayer, but you got up a whole different way? Are you listening to me? You felt bad before you dropped down on your knees, but you felt blessed when you got up. Are you listening to me? You felt hurt before you got down on your knees, but you found out that you had help by the time you got up off your knees. You felt discouraged when you got down on your knees, but you felt delighted when you got up. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, watch verse 2. He says in verse 2, "I poured out my complaint before him," before God, "and in my trouble, I told my troubles before him." Can I just say this like I feel it? How wonderful it is that we serve a God who will listen even to our complaints. Listen, he sits on high, surrounded by scenes of splendor no mind can conceive and no pen can describe. Every whirling atom, every blazing star proclaims his wisdom, love, and power. He is attended by the shining seraphim who sing his praises, and the chanting cherubim ceaselessly proclaims his holiness. The angelic choirs shout his praises. The spirit of men just made perfect may add their anthems as well. And yet, I wish somebody would help me right here. And yet, beloved, he listens to our complaints. He got all of that stuff around him, and yet he has time to listen to our complaints. Are you listening to me? It reminds me that we can tell God anything. Anything, preacher? Anything. Anything, pastor? Anything. We can tell God anything. Listen, I can't tell you anything because you'll use it against me. I can't tell you most things because you will tell somebody else. But hallelujah to the Lamb, I can tell God. Is that all right to say this morning? That is his honest communion, but not only do we see the communion that is observed, we see that it's honest communion, but we also see that it is humbled communion. It's in the text. Verse 3 says, "When my spirit faints within me," he says, "you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me." In other words, David says that when I was so overwhelmed and I did not know my way, he's suggesting that God showed him the way. You see, beloved, it is evident that David is in deep despair. The word there in the text, the Hebrew word for faint, means to be overwhelmed, are clothed, are shrouded. David was literally in a cave where the light was limited. Are you listening to me? Yet the greater darkness was not just in the physical cave. The greater darkness was in his spirit. He was overwhelmed on the inside. His soul was swamped within him. And no doubt he's confused and bewildered and hurt. But rather than take a proud, puffed up, arrogant approach. He humbles himself before the Lord. And listen, beloved, I'm in Bible country because the Bible declares in the New Testament that we've got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that in due time he may lift us up. Are you listening to me? And listen, if anyone has a right to feel betrayed, deceived, let down, and unjustly mistreated, it was David at this point in his life. He had done nothing to provoke the pursuit of Saul and his enemies. And even though he didn't understand it all, he did not puff himself up. Listen, beloved, he ain't too proud to beg. He's not too proud to go before the Lord and humble himself. He doesn't know the whys. He doesn't know the hows. He doesn't know the whats. He doesn't know what's around the next bend in the cut around the corner. But he acknowledged the fact and says that even though I don't know the way, he says, God knows my path. I hope somebody hears that. In other words, he's suggesting that in spite of all that he has gone through, he's suggesting that God knew he would be right there. He knew where David would be. And listen, beloved, I ain't mad at David because a lot of times we may not understand what we're going through, but hallelujah, God does. Is that all right to say this morning? Even though I don't get it, even though it ain't making a whole lot of sense to me, God understands and God knows, and it behooves me to humble myself before Almighty God. The famous inventor Samuel Morse was once asked if he had ever encountered a situation where he did not know what to do. Morse replied, "Yeah, more than once. And when I couldn't see my way clearly, I asked God for light and understanding." Morris received numerous honors for his invention of the telegraph, but very humbly he once said, "I have made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me." I like that. That just shouts me right there, because in much the same way, David acknowledges that though he doesn't know the way, God knows the way, and bless his high and holy name. Aren't you glad that through many times through life, we don't know what's around the next corner, but hallelujah, God does. Job expressed it this way in Job 23, line 10, where he said, "But God knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold." I like that. David isn't so proud or so puffed up that he cannot admit that it's beyond what he's going through, is beyond his knowledge and beyond his understanding scope and even ability. He has an honest and humble communion with God. Listen, beloved, wherever you are with God, get with God. Wherever you are in your life, get with God. Commune with God. Be open and honest and humbled, and let God speak to your situation. I believe that's what we learn when we learn David being developed in the dark. Listen, beloved, not only do we see communion that is observed, we also see a condition that is outlined. Watch the text. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Look at verse 4. It says, "Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me." What a sad commentary for this sweet psalmist of Israel. What a difficult place to be, where he says, "There is none who take notice of me." And I ain't mad at David. We've all been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, handed it out to our friends and relatives. The truth of the matter is, beloved, in this verse, it is outlined to us the severity of David's condition. No doubt one must immediately feel pity and sympathy for him, because we see his outlined condition by a lack of companionship. Watch this, verse 1. "No one takes notice of me." Another version says, there is no one who acknowledges me. It seems to be one of the saddest, gloomiest pictures of the psalmist. Listen, beloved, he is all alone and feeling totally isolated. Really, he wasn't all alone in the cave of Adullam. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible tells us that David had about 400 men in that cave with him. However, there is not just a lack of company, it's not just a lack of company, it's a lack of companionship. There's no one he can talk to. There's no one who understands or acknowledges his pain. Several years ago, in an ad in a Kansas City newspaper, it read like this. It said, I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. And no wonder, my brothers and sisters, if anyone had accepted this offer. However, after several weeks, that ad was answered by 20 to 50 people per week. Are you listening to me? Because there was, listen, people who were willing to do anything for a half hour of companionship. Come here, my brothers and sisters, because the truth of the matter is, beloved, David seems to be in that same predicament. He's feeling alone. He's feeling abandoned. He's feeling isolated. And though he is surrounded by hundreds of men, hear me, beloved, there is no one he can talk to. There is a lack of companion, but also the text suggests that there is a lack of concern. The truth of the matter is, you can have a whole lot of folk around you and still feel alone. You can go to your job every day and still feel all by yourself, isolated and even abandoned. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, beloved, there's a lack of companionship, but also the lack of concern. Watch verse 4 again. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. Listen, can I read that again? No one cares for me, and no refuge remains to me, and no one cares for my soul. Simply put, the psalmist felt that nobody really cared for him or looked after him. No one showed him any compassion or concern. Are you listening to me? Mother Teresa said it like this. She said, loneliness and the feelings of being uncared for and unwanted are the greatest poverty in the world. Is there a more empty feeling in the human heart than to be lonely and to feel that there is no one around that cares? Beloved, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my own life, in the life of Kenny Ray, where I found myself right there in that place. It seemed as if there was nobody who understood me, and it seemed as if there was no one who cared for me. And I know I ain't in this space by myself. All of us, especially during this pandemic, have felt like that at one time or one space in our life. Most of us have gone through times of our life where we felt lonely. And it probably, my brothers and sisters, have been times where we wondered if there were anybody who really cared. Perhaps, beloved, you need to remind somebody today that you're loved. And matter of fact, that's your homework. Listen, call somebody and remind them that you care for them. Just pick up the phone or text somebody, inbox somebody, and remind them that you care for them. And listen, beloved, tell them you love them. Tell them you're there for them. Tell them you care for them. Are you listening to me? Perhaps you need someone to show you or to tell you that they care for you. Listen, because I've discovered that you can go through a big city such as New York and San Francisco's and the city that seems never to sleep. You go through there at night and you see all of those lights and all of the activity, and everything seems to be alive and popping. Are you listening to me? But somewhere in that city, even though it seems alive, there's somebody who sits in darkness, somebody who feels deserted, somebody who feels abandoned, somebody who feels all alone, somebody feels like nobody cares. That's your homework. Call somebody, text somebody, inbox somebody, and let them know that you care. Listen, beloved, they've been isolated. They've been abandoned. They feel all alone, and we need to reach out, because folk don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Preach, Reese. I'm trying to do that. Listen, beloved, there's a story about an elderly Christian lady who had lived alone and partly crippled. She had to rely primarily on the goodwill of others. She spent some of her weary hours keeping a diary, although no one really knew why. She had precious little to record, and finally, the Lord called her to himself to enjoy the blessings of his better land. It is reported that she lay dead for several days before anyone missed her. And looking through her few belongings, someone discovered her diary. Most of the book contained nothing of interest, but in fact, near the end of her life, as one monotonous day followed another, she wrote only 6 gut-wrenching words, page after page. Hear these words: no one came and no one cared. I hope you get that today. Listen. Those are gut-wrenching words. No one came. Nobody stopped by. Nobody cared for me. Nobody called me. Nobody reached out to me. Nobody inboxed me. Nobody cared, came by. Nobody came and nobody cared. What a sad commentary in the life of a Christian soldier. What a sad commentary in the life of someone who loves the Lord and are part of a community and a body that's supposed to reach out and love one another. What a sad commentary on the body of Christ that an elderly Christian lady has to die alone, and the only words recorded is that no one came and no one cared. Listen, beloved, the world we live in needs to know that we care, and ultimately the point is that God cares. Are you hearing me? If nobody else cares, somebody ought to shout hallelujah, my God cares for me. Yes, he does. In the midst of a worldwide pandemic with a mutating virus, where there is social unrest and economic uncertainty, I just need to know somebody cares. Somebody means me well. I need to know that somebody has my well-being in mind. I need to know that somebody wants me to make it out of my situation. I know that it has to be somebody who wants me to keep my head lifted up. I need to know that there is somebody who wants my breakthrough to break through. Are you listening to me? Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is the world needs to know that somebody cares. The question I want to ask you, my Christian brother, my Christian sister, is do you care? I know I'm preaching right along here. That's going to miss somebody. But listen, a lot of times I've come to discover, beloved, listen, but we feel isolated and we feel all alone. But let me flip the script on you real quick. Listen, beloved, the text says that David says, no refuge remained to me. In other words, he says, my refuge has fail me. Hear me and hear me good. It seems as if David had sought someone to talk to, but they had failed him. My point is this, that even though they failed him, at least David reached out. You'll get that on the way home because, in other words, we can't say nobody cares unless we allow somebody in. You can't lock yourself up in your cave and pull the blinds and have a drive-by celebration where ain't nobody invited but you. Listen, don't disable your Facebook page. Don't close your Twitter or Instagram account. Don't go unfriending people on social media. Answer your phone. Respond to your text messages. Don't ignore when somebody inbox you asking you how you're doing. When they knock on your door, come to the door. Are you listening to me? Because a lot of times we may feel isolated and alone because we have cut everybody off. Listen, and we have isolated ourselves from those who really care for us. So here's my suggestion. Stop being a recluse. Stop being a loner. Stop being a hermit and let somebody in. You know what I always say. Stop being a lone ranger, because even the lone ranger had Tonto. I wish somebody would help me. Listen, beloved, at least try to let somebody in like David. Listen, he tried, but it to no avail. Can I just walk this through this? I'll give you this last point. I'll give you the bones. You put the meat on it when you get home. Listen, we see that if we're going to be developed in the dark, we see that there has to be a communion that is observed. We see in the text there's a condition that is outlined. But lastly, beloved, watch this. There is a compliment that is offered. Listen, a compliment that is offered. Watch this. The mood in verse 5 makes a grand shift. Listen, we see David begin to pick himself up, dust himself off with renewed confidence, hope, and joy. David, in spite of everything else, says to God, "You are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." He suggests that God is his shelter, even if he don't understand, and even if he doesn't have anybody else. He says to God, "You are my refuge and you are my portion in the land of the living." Now remember, here's a man at one of the darkest places in his life. He felt abandoned, he felt alone, he felt isolated, he felt that nobody cared, he felt, beloved, that no one understood. However, it seems as if at this very moment he begins to recognize all over again who his God is. He begins to recognize that his God has all power in his hand, and even though he don't understand it, God is his hiding place. Are you listening to me? At that moment he recognized there is one who still is his fortress. There is one who is still his refuge and his hiding place, and he obtains great consolation from that fact. And beloved, praise be to God, in your life and in my life as well, when we feel alone, when we feel isolated, when we feel abandoned, listen, beloved, we need to recognize there is still one who is our refuge. Do I need to tell you his name? His name is Jesus. Yes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name, Jesus, Jesus. Let every heart proclaim, Jesus, Jesus, every day the same. His name is Jesus, Jesus, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, my friend, when I didn't have a friend, he's a friend to the friendless, a mother to the motherless, and a father to the fatherless. Somebody says that he's a bridge over troubled waters, and he's bread when I'm hungry and water when I'm thirsty. He will meet me at my point of need. Can I tell you again? His name is Jesus. Anybody love that name? Anybody love the name of Jesus? Don't fool me now. I wish you just read back right where you are. I type in the comment section, Jesus. That's all you got to say, because a whole lot of times Jesus is enough. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I wish you just shout it real quick right where you are. Jesus. Anybody love his name? Because he recognized, this psalmist recognized that there is a refuge. There is somebody who cares. And listen, beloved, I've come to discover, David says, he remembers this in verse 6. He says, I know that these enemies are too strong for me. Get that, beloved. He said, they too big for me. They're too strong for me. And note, David had 400 men at his disposal. And yet he says that these enemies are too strong for me. In other words, he's suggesting that even though they're too strong for me, they're not too strong for God. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, a man whose lineage would come from the very Son of God, a man who wore the distinction of being called a man after God's own heart, he says, this situation is too much for me to handle. He realized that this situation is out of his hand and beyond his control, his scope and ability. And if anything is to be done, he says, then God has to do it. Watch what he says in verse 7. Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Listen, beloved, hear me. Hear me good. We see a wonderful culmination of this saga where David is determined to praise God. I hope you get that this morning. He is determined to praise God. What we see in the text is the motivation for his praise. The word prison in the Hebrew literally means trouble or distress. It gives the idea that he is in a situation where he can't get out by himself. It indicates that David says to himself, I know where I am and I know the predicament that I'm in, and I realize there's nothing that I can do about it. And it's clear to me now, and even though I may not understand it all, I simply have to trust God. Get what he says. He says, in other words, I got no other ulterior motive other than, beloved, he says, that I may give thanks to his name. Do you see that in the text? He says, bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. He does not have any other ulterior motive for getting out of that cave. Listen, beloved, he doesn't say, get me out of here and I'll do better in my life. He does not say, God, get me out of here and I'll be in church on Sunday morning. He says, God, get me out of here for no other reason other than to praise your holy name, other than to give thanks to you. Get me out of this situation that I may tell somebody how good my God is, that I may give your name praise and thanks. Listen, beloved, there are no hidden agendas with David. He's taking no deals. He's not trying to bargain or barter with God. His whole desire is that he may glorify God. And listen, beloved, I know you want to get out of your situation, and I know you want to get out of what you're going through, and I know you want to get out of the darkness, but what is your motivation for getting out of that darkness? Do you want to get out so that you can be financially free? Do you want to get out so that you can come to a place to where you have contentment and peace? Do you want to get out just so that you can say that you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps? No. Everybody shout no. Type it in the comment section. Say no. No, that ain't my motivation. My motivation for getting out of this thing is that I may lift your name up, that I may give you praise, that I may be able to shout hallelujah, and people can see the God that I serve. They won't see none of me, but they'll see all of thee. I want to give
your name praise. I know you can, and I know you will. I know you can bring me out. As a matter of fact, somebody in here right now, when you just think about what God had brought you through, you ain't ashamed, right wherever you are, to give God some praise. Somebody walked out on you. You lost your job. Somebody said they didn't want to come near you. But listen, beloved, you started giving God praise when he brought you out.
I know I'm right about it. If you study much of history, you'll know that the Duke of Wellington, the British military leader who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, was not an easy man to serve under. Listen, he was brilliant, demanding, and not one to offer many compliments to his troops. Yet, even Wellington realized that his method left something to be desired. And so, in his old age, a young lady asked him what he would do differently if he could live his life over again. And he said, well, that's easy. He said, I'd give more praise. I like that, beloved friends. It may look bad tonight. You may be like David. Listen, in the cave of despair and doubt and disappointment, but our motivation ought to be not just so that we can get back on our feet or so that just we can come out of our cave, but our motivation ought to be that we give thanks to his name. That was the motivation for David's praise, but we see the evaluation of his praise. Listen, remember, here's a man who felt abandoned and alone, and no doubt he had ever wondered if God even was concerned. Possibly he wondered if he was ever going to come out of that cave. Listen, beloved, do I need to tell you, you coming out. This ain't some sad psalm. Listen, that you, I ain't trying to preach some prosperity theology. I'm saying we coming out of the cave one way or another. And even if God takes us out of the cave by taking us home, he'll take us out of the cave. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, he reevaluates the situation and he confidently says, for you, meaning God, will deal bountifully with me. In other words, he says, I know that my God is going to take care of me. Listen, he had come to the point of total trust and confidence in God, that God was going to bring him out of the cave one way or another. Are you listening to me? Somebody ought to shout, bless his high and holy name. For even in the cave, God is still God. Even in the cave, he is still worthy to be praised. And though we may find ourselves in the dark recesses of the cave, we will not be in there forever one way or another. Just like David, you're coming out too. It is during World War I, the importing of beautiful singing canaries from Germany had ceased, and therefore a man in New York decided to start his own system of training canaries because they could no longer get them from Germany. He had bird songs put on record, which proved to be successful for a while. However, one day he made a startling discovery. Listen, beloved, he found that if he covered the cages with a thick cloth and made it a completely dark in the cage, shutting the light out, the birds would sing more quickly and more effective than ever before. Listen, beloved, for the truth of the matter is, listen, we may be that you are in God's dark room. But in the dark room, we learn to sing more effectively. I hope somebody gets that today. You're in a dark place and a dark space, but you now can sing more effectively. You can sing with David, bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. He says, I know you will deal bountifully. I know, God, you're going to bring me out. In other words, beloved, that when we are in the dark room, listen, we got to recognize that in the dark, listen, God is not trying to destroy us. He's trying to develop us. We need to know that in the dark, God is not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. In the dark room, God is not trying to grieve us. He's trying to grow us up. Listen, in the dark, he's not just messing with us. He is maturing us. And though even in the dark, you need to know that he is still God. Though it may be disappointing, though it may be some doubt, bless his name, he is still God. Even when the situation seems dark, we serve a God who is the light of the world. Are you listening to me? Even in the dark, weeping may endure for a night, but somebody knows that joy comes in the morning. I like the morning time, beloved, because the morning indicates the dawn of a bright new day. The morning says that whatever happened in the night, the morning gives a fresh outlook and a better expectation simply because God woke me up that morning. Are you listening to me? And if you can't shout on anything else, I'll give you 10 quick reasons why you can give God a shout out on today. Number one, he woke you up this morning. Number two, he woke you up this morning. Number three, four, and five, he woke you up this morning. Number six, he woke you up this morning. Number seven, he woke you up this morning. Number eight and nine, he woke you up this morning. Number 10, he woke you up this morning. And because he woke you up this morning, you better give God some praise, because although it seemed like it was nighttime in your life, God woke you up this morning. I told you, I love mornings, because it was early Sunday morning that he got up with all power in his hand. And because he got up, I now have a right to the tree of life. Because he got up, I now know who I am and why I'm here on planet Earth. Because he got up over 2,000 years ago and he got up in my life, I realize that I've been produced with purpose and I've been packaged with potential. And if you up in here and you're grateful that he got up on Sunday morning, I dare you to wave your hand in the air and wave it like you just don't care. I dare you to give God some praise that he is developing you, not trying to destroy you. He's not messing with you. He's trying to mature you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. Can you say yeah? Can you say yes? Yes! Yes, I got one question for you. Ain't he all right? Won't he make a way? Won't he pick you up, turn you around, and place your feet on solid ground? Yes, yes, yes. Developed in the dark. Developed in the dark.